the other day I had a dream. I was going to church, and out in front of his church there was this sign that said, your anti-virus thing was... And, only those in your group can serve. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So I went in and I talked to him. I said, well, what's the sign about? I mean, do you have people just kind of like randomly coming in and trying to serve on the Lord's Supper? I mean, what is that about? And they said, oh, no, that's not the problem. The problem is there's all these other groups in town that are trying to do good stuff. We don't like it. It's not right. They're not part of our group. They can't be doing that. So we decided that we're going to stop it. That only those in our group can do good things. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are blessed beyond words. Lord, we live in a fallen world where we have to deal with sin, corruption, death, heartache. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the valley, there is a joy that is overwhelming, that is beyond our comprehension. And we thank you and we praise you. Forgive us when we fall short, as we make mistakes, as we stumble along the way. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we're in a relationship with your Father, with you, with... Lord, we just are so thankful. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you, Almighty God, be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say, that your character will shine through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 42. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 42. This is in a series of stories that deal with the disciples really not getting the idea of servanthood, of really thinking about the kingdom is about being more important, special. And in their defense, as they were going along, Jesus had a lot of followers, but it was to them that he gave the power to cast out demons. It was them that he was closest to, and so they began to believe that was about them being special. Verse 38. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us." John addresses Jesus and says teacher, and that is master in the British sense. And I only point that out because I think for them, the term teacher had a lot more respect than it does for us. Now, when I was in school, I was taught that I had to respect my teachers, but that's different than actually respecting them. Does that make sense? Because my teachers were just those people that actually annoyed me through the day. For John, when he uses this term teacher, it is a term of respect. He is calling him the one, I respect who you are. He says, we saw this guy, and he is casting out demons. And the word demon is deity, divinity, or unclean spirits. There's all kinds of different ideas and thoughts about what a demon was in this time. All that we need to know is that they were evil. I think there are still demons today, and they're still evil. You don't want to play around with demons. And so basically, when these guys are casting out demons, when they're ejecting them by force, what they are doing is they are fighting against evil. It's not like in Acts 19 when you have the seven sons of Sceva. Remember those guys? They were Jewish exorcists. They didn't even believe in Jesus. They thought that using the name of Jesus was like some kind of magic formula. Well, it worked for Paul. bound to work for us. And if you remember what happened in that story, the guy that was demon-possessed beat them up, stripped them of their clothes, and sent them running through the city of Ephesus. Well, that's not what's going on here. This guy is actually casting out demons. So that tells me that he believes in the name of Jesus. He is fighting evil in the name of Jesus. That's really all that we know about this man. Well, we do know that he wasn't following. And John says we tried to prevent. We tried to hinder him. We tried to forbid him. Basically, we said, knock that off. You're not part of us. You know, Jesus didn't give you the authority to do this. You're not part of our group. Because the word following can mean to accompany along the way. Some of the newer translations translate it, because he was not part of our group. And I think that's probably the sense. He's not one of us. He can't do good things. He's not with us. And Jesus then says, don't prevent him. Don't hinder him. Because no one is going to be able to perform a miracle or do a miracle or do this mighty or strength. The word miracle means strength or power. Nobody's going to be able to do this great powerful thing in my name and then soon afterwards. And that means quickly. Revile me. Speak evil against me. Now, he's not saying they won't try. Because we know people who do that, right? They do something good in the name of Jesus and then they turn around and say something stupid about Jesus. Well, that's not his point. His point is that they will not be believed. They did something great, powerful. They're fighting against evil in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they turn around and say something evil about Jesus. It makes no sense. Nobody's going to buy that. And so Jesus is saying that if they're fighting evil, most likely they're also going to witness about me. And it's going to be good. In Matthew 12, 22 to 30, the Pharisees are a little unhappy about Jesus getting recognition for casting out demons. And so they say, but he's doing that by the power of Satan. And so Jesus confronts that idea. And at the end of that, he says this same thing that he does here in verse 40, but he does it in the opposite way. There he says, he who is with us is not against us. And his point is we're in the middle of a battle here. And if they're not fighting, if they're fighting with us, then guess what? They're not against us. See, demons are evil. I think I wonder sometimes if we don't find ourselves fighting against people who are not fighting against us. Why do we do that? I have this picture of the Baptist group that partners with the Red Cross. They are a kitchen, and they feed people. See, my point is, they're not fighting against me. Why can't I just say they're doing a good work in the name of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What about Mother Teresa? Sometimes we say, well, yes, but. Why? Okay, we're not talking about theology here. We're not talking about what they're teaching. What we're talking about is what they're doing. And if they're fighting evil in the name of Jesus Christ, why can't we just acknowledge that they're fighting evil in the name of Jesus Christ? And if they're not fighting against us, and we turn around and fight against them, how does that look to the people in the world? It looks petty. I mean, what do you think of John saying this? He's not part of our group. We told him to knock that off. I think of people like Corrie ten Boom who hid Jewish people in the German occupation of Holland. Now, if you were going to sit down and talk with, well, you can't because she's dead and talking to dead people is wrong. But if you're going to sit down and talk to her, you're going to find out that you have different beliefs than she does. But can we say that in the middle of that horrendous time, she stood in the gap and she fought evil in the name of Jesus Christ? How about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was one of the very first to stand up and say that what the Germans are doing is wrong, and it cost him his life. So, why fight? It just seems petty, doesn't it? And again, I know we're not talking about theology. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We're talking about people doing good in the name of Jesus Christ. I was reading this morning from Megan's Secrets by Mike Cope. And his brother and sister-in-law lost their 15-year-old son, Jensen. He had a rare heart condition. After lifting weights, he just died. In their distress, they did what a lot of parents did. They started a foundation. And overnight, they had $25,000. And they were looking around, what are we going to do with this? Because they didn't stipulate. They didn't say it was going to go to the heart research. They just started a foundation. And all of those things that they could have done would have been good things. But then they heard about kids living on the streets in Vietnam. And so they traveled there. And they saw these kids, poor, destitute, without a family. And they realized that many of these kids were being kidnapped off the street and forced into the sex industry. So they began a foundation. They used their money and they bought a house. And they took 15 kids off the street. And they fed them, and they loved them. And the money just kept pouring in. So they bought another house. And they took 15 more kids off the street. And now the group that they started is global. And sometimes they have people who say, we see what you're doing. We would like to help you with that. Can you imagine them saying, well, I'm sorry, you're not part of our group. We don't accept your money. If they're not fighting against us, why are we fighting against them? I think that's Jesus' point. He who's not against us is for us. The battle lines are being drawn. Verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. Because of your name as followers of Christ is literally, in a name, that you are Christ's. It's interesting, isn't it? The person giving the cup of water, we don't know what his connection is, or hers. It doesn't say that they're Christians. It doesn't say that they're doing this because they believe in Christ. Jesus says if they give you a cup of water because of who you belong to, they will not lose their reward. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus says truly, and that word is often translated amen, and it means in truth. When Jesus says, truly I say to you, he's calling, he's saying, hey, this is something important, I want you to pay attention. This is in truth, I am telling you this. They will not lose their reward, and lose means to ruin or destroy. Their reward will not be destroyed. And reward means wages. We are not talking about salvation. See, Jesus is not saying if somebody gives you a cup of water because you belong to me, they're saved. Woohoo! That's not his point. You're not saved because of wages. You can't earn that. What he's saying is the way God made us, when you help somebody else, you get a natural reward that will not be taken away because they don't belong to the right group. When I was working in a small little church in Nebraska, we had a young guy, his name was Tim, and he had a lot of great ideas. And he said, I'd like to do a food drive, but I'd like it to be bigger than what we could do. How about if we ask the police? I think they'd help us. One of our members said, I've got my reservations about that. I said, why? I don't know, but I've got my reservations about that. What? You see, somewhere along the way, we think that if we accept help from somebody who's not Christian, that we might be saying we agree with everything that they're saying. Who thinks like that? I don't. If you walk up to me today and say, good sermon, I'm not going to think, oh, you must agree with everything I've ever said in my life. Because I know that would be really stupid. That's not... See, we think those things, but we don't ever actually think that way, do we? I said, why do you have your reservations? And he couldn't tell me. He couldn't take me to Scripture. He couldn't say anything about it. One of the other members said, well, if we let them help, they're going to try to control it. You think? Oh, yeah, because the police don't have anything better to do than to control giving food. And by the way, them helping us, could that be the same as giving a cup of water? Because we are Christ's. We belong to Him. I think it could be. I think it's the same thing. Mountain States Children's Home, just before Christmas, they had a bank in Longmont. Now please understand, this bank was not owned by the Church of Christ. This bank said, we've noticed that you're doing a good thing. We'd like to help out. Just tell us what your house parents would like and we'll get it for them. Can you imagine if Mountain States Children's Home said, I'm sorry, you don't belong to our group. We don't want your money. Yeah. Well, what kind of image would that give in the community? And by the way, is that the heart of Christ? I don't think so. Instead, they said, man, thank you. What we'd really like is some chicken. And so a bank in Longmont, Colorado, bought these houses chicken. And they said, thank you. And I am convinced that that bank will not lose its reward. Because when you do good, God has made us to feel good about doing good, hasn't He? Yes. They will not lose it. But maybe if we refuse it, we are keeping them from actually getting a reward. There might be something to that. But on the other hand, if you cause one of these little ones, and little ones can mean age, he's not talking about age here. It can mean stature. Again, not talking about short people. What he's talking about is importance. I think what he's talking about is those who have just started to believe. They are infants in their belief. If you cause one of these little ones, these infants who believe in me, who trust in me, if you cause them to stumble, and that can mean, and I think it does in this context, that can mean cause to sin. Matter of fact, it can even be stronger than that, and it can mean to fall away. If you cause one of these ones who are just now starting to believe, and if you cause them to stumble, if you cause them to fall away, now we're talking about theology, aren't we? Maybe. Because I think sometimes when our actions are so narrow that everybody's got to belong to our group or they're just not good enough, I think that might cause some people who are just starting to believe to fall away. I think we need to be very careful in what we teach and what we do. Because I don't want to... You see, what Jesus says is if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you if you had a heavy millstone, and the word heavy is literally donkey. Okay? Because there was two millstones. One was stationary on the bottom. The other one was this big stone that was pulled by a donkey to grind the grain. So he's saying is, it would be better for you if you had that thing tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. And guess what? If that thing's tied around your neck and you're thrown into the sea, you're not surviving it. Yeah. The Romans and the Greeks actually punished people this way. Okay. So this was not just some extreme example Jesus was pulling out of his hat. This was something that was actually done. It would be better. It would be better for you if you were killed like this. That's how serious this is. I think there's three lessons that we can learn here. Let's stop fighting those who are not fighting against us. Can we do that? We get this publication sent here, and it's called Now and Then, and some people are very up in arms about the change agents. And they seem to focus in a lot on the teachers at Abilene, teachers I've met. And I'll be honest with you, I don't agree with everything that they teach or say. But what I've noticed about these guys is they're not fighting against me. They're honestly, with a pure, as far as I can tell, with a sincere heart, trying to discover what God says and to teach it. And not only just teach it, but they're trying to live it. As they serve other people. And so my question is, even when we're talking about disagreements and what people think and what they teach, if they're not fighting against us, why are we fighting against them? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, is it? We need to battle false ideas. Definitely. I read an article once, a column several years ago, and it was about this guy that was writing the column. He said he really appreciated groups that were coming out with Christian-based movies. Like Sherwood Pictures and other groups that have made some really good quality movies. He said, the reason why I appreciate this is because what's happened is they're not out there going, we hate the movie industry. They're just producing trash. Instead, they're saying, let's produce something good. Shouldn't that be our stance? Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of false ideas out there. There's a lot of messages out there that are causing people to stumble. Let's get out there with the truth and love. Can we do that? Let's get out there with the truth and let's quit fighting. People who are not even fighting against us. Number two, don't prevent people from receiving a reward. There are people out there, if you're doing something good, they're going to notice it, and they're going to want to help. And I know there's a lot of things that but what if people see a connection there that's not there, or all kinds of things that can come up. If we don't let them give us a cup of water, are we cutting off their chances to receive a reward? Something to think about. And number three, don't cause little ones to stumble. I mean, this seems like a pretty serious thing, right? I mean, if Jesus says it's better for you if you have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea. You don't want that to happen. So let's be very careful. I know that as we try to determine our walk as a group and as individuals, it's not as clear-cut as maybe I've made it sound today. I know that it's difficult at times. I understand. But I wonder sometimes if we aren't spending more time trying to establish what makes us different than just preaching Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't have to be different. I'm different enough as it is. So that's not my goal. My goal is not to have a unique message. My goal is to have a message that's been here for thousands of years. My goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I don't have to fight anybody to do that. If somebody comes, you know, if I read something that I think is an error, I might mention it. I might say, I think this is wrong. The other chaplain at the correction center, there are times when he and I disagree. He's with a different group, doesn't matter which one. But overall, I see a man who is striving to serve kids in the name of Jesus Christ. Given the chance, I talk to him about our differences theologically. Because I want him to see those differences and I want him to make a choice. But he's not my enemy. I'm not going to fight against him. My enemy is Satan. My enemy is kids coming from lives that are too horrible I can't even tell you about. My enemy is the sin that corrupts. And if the world just sees us fighting over things that seems to have no relevance, and we're not out there helping people who are addicted to cutting drugs, who have been abused their whole lives, or have succumbed to alcohol and drugs, are they going to see us as relevant at all? Isn't that where the real battle is? So let's speak the truth. Never water it down. Never compromise. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. And let's get out there and fight against the gates of hell. That's where our fight is. And by the way, I love the point that when Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against you, we often think that we're going to survive the attacks of Satan. That's not his point. His point is that Satan will not survive your attacks. You are going to fight the gates of hell, and they cannot stand because you have the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's our fight. Praise God. If there's anyone here this morning that has been battling and suffering, because we live in a fallen world, have you noticed? Maybe sin has crept back into your life and you're scratching your head and wondering why. Maybe bitterness, anger, hardness of heart. Maybe you're just really confused about this whole God thing because sometimes it doesn't make sense. We are here this morning to spur one another on in love. And if you need that kind of encouragement, and if you need prayers, and I'm convinced there is so much power in prayer. If you want to know more about our God, more about what He desires from us, more about what it means to be born again, we would love to talk to you about that. Whatever you need, please come as God stands.